Many businesses and entrepreneurs seek places to conduct their business, and this is no small feat. Residential real estate and commercial real estate are two different worlds, and they require a different understanding of how each works. That is why you need a commercial real estate agent to assist you in identifying a property that is good for you and your business.
Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
Today we have Alberto Sapoznik with us here today, and he is a commercial realtor specializing in tenant representation of office and warehouse space. Alberto was born in Marianao, Cuba, and came to the United States in 1961. As Cuba had already begun its communist system, the family was only allowed $5 each, no jewelry or any type was allowed to leave the island. So Alberto's father sent he and his family over with some merchandise from his store so that his mom could sell it for cash to rent an apartment and get the family situated. His father was not allowed to leave with him. After trying various industries, Alberto started in residential real estate and decided that it just wasn't for him. And his broker then suggested that he try commercial real estate, and because he thought he would be perfect for it. That was over 30 years ago. So I guess it was perfect for Alberto. So we're so happy to have Alberto here with us today to tell us all about commercial real estate. Welcome, Alberto. So tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into this amazing conversation about commercial real estate.
Thank you, and gladly. So I am Alberto Sapoznik, a commercial real estate broker for over 30 years. And in that industry, it's a very wide industry. And I'll talk a little bit more about how wide it is in a little while. But I just wanted to say that, you know, I love what I do. I've been doing it for a long time, and I look forward to every day helping people save money.
So tell me, where are you from, and how did you get into commercial real estate?
Sure. I was born in Cuba. We left not too long after Castro came in, as most of the capitalists did. We left in 61, and I was a child. And we got out with whatever we could. And frankly, it wasn't very much, because Castro already, even though it was just less than 2 years after he took over, he had already changed all the laws, and, you know, whatever was yours was not yours. The government owned it, and you know, you had to fight for every little thing. I got into real estate in a residential world. In the residential world, which is and I say it like that on purpose, because it is a different world. I sold houses down in Fort Lauderdale. I lived in Hollywood, and Fort Lauderdale happened to be where my office was, so that's where I sold most of the houses. But after a year and a half, close to 2 years, I started getting more and more frustrated with the residential world and its quote-unquote issues. And it just didn't work for me as well. Even though I was doing very well in it, my broker loved me because I was producing, I got to the point where I got the last straw. The last straw was a lady who just drove me nuts. And I decided, this is not for me. It's not for me. And I say lady because almost always the lady of the house decides which house they actually buy.
Yes.
You know, the man can say anything they want, but the lady decides.
Yes.
So this lady, I mean, it's a long story. I don't want to bother you and waste your time. But the reality was, that was the straw. And I went back to my office talking to myself and saying, I don't need this. I can do, you know, I have options and stuff like that. I went and I picked up a box and I started packing my desk. And my broker saw me from across the room and he said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm tired of this. I'm frustrated. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be frustrated. So I'm going to do something else. I've got options. He says, no, come into my office. So I went into his office and he says, listen, I heard that you're frustrated. I've been hearing that you've been frustrated. I think you would be really, really good in commercial. You're very well organized. You say the right things, you say it the right way. Most importantly, you're also don't ever show somebody something that they cannot afford. You're always very careful about making sure that they can, that it lives within their boundaries. And that's, few people do that, by the way. And you are one of those. And I would like you to consider going into commercial. I said, well, what do I need to do? Do I need a new license? Or he said, no, same license. You just need to learn new things. It's almost like a new language because we speak about things differently, you know, than a residential agent might. So I did take the courses. I shadowed him for 2 weeks and listened to how he had been doing commercial work. And he asked me to please shadow him so I can see how transactions are done. And I did, and I loved it because they were business decisions, not emotional decisions. And a business decision, I can understand. The emotional one, not as much. And though that was my frustration. So I started doing commercial and thank goodness it did fit well with my psyche and way of doing business. And I love what I've been doing, you know, forever. When I first started, actually, I was doing a lot of apartment complexes, selling apartment complexes. But gradually I switched over to the business side of it where people and business space. And for the last 11 years, since I opened this company, I strictly do business to business where I help businesses find business space. I'm a tenant rep only. I don't represent any property owner, so I don't have any allegiance to any property. So I'll never steer my client to any specific property because I don't have any, I don't have anything in the game to steer them towards any property. On purpose, I don't keep, you know, real tight relationships with owners because I don't want to have an issue as far as a personal issue.
Love that story. I think I would have been one of those women that would have driven you crazy.
I had a system. My system was 10 houses. I showed people 10 houses that fit their criteria, their price point, their location, their how many bedrooms, etc. And if they didn't find that any of those 10 were no good, that means they were just window shopping. They weren't, to me, they weren't ready to buy.
Let me tell you, I saw 60 houses before I made my decision. So I know I would have driven you crazy.
I would have fired you on the 11th one.
That's it.
That's what I did. But on the 11th one, they said, I'm sorry. My time is so tight up in the next couple of months.
I'm done. But you're so correct that buying a home is an emotional decision versus a business decision. And it causes the process to last a little longer than what it needs to be. Business owners, they want to get to the point so they can start making money. So it makes perfect sense. And you're right that women, we make 90% of the decisions of the household. And so we can have our challenges as we make decisions.
And that's so, okay. There's nothing wrong with that if you're equipped for that.
I'm not equipped for that. You said, I'm done. So if you could, for our audience who are new to real estate, could you distinguish the difference between commercial real estate and residential real estate just on a basic level so people know what we're talking
You know, and I'm going to offend some people right now when I say this. If you meet an agent who says they do commercial and residential, I'm going to suggest that you run the other way. Because they're two different languages and two different ways to approach what you're trying to accomplish. In the residential world, you're trying to find the house that fits, let's say, the family's needs, all of them. And in the commercial world, you're looking for the business's needs. And the fact that location is important is the same in all real estate. The three most important things in real estate are location, location, location. That is true in residential or commercial. That is 100% true every single time. But in commercial, you also have to consider traffic patterns, parking spaces, how many parking spaces are there in a property, getting in and out of the property. Are you in a busy street where there's no way to turn in from the other direction? You have to go and make a U-turn to come back in. There's all different aspects of it that are more than just like, you know, is the house on a cul-de-sac or not, or whatever. And there's a lot of different things that I look at. And parking ratios, by the way, for me are critical. I will not show a space inside of a property that is short on parking. If my tenant, my client, has 10 employees and their property, and they occupy, let's say, 2,000 square feet as an example with those 10 employees, and that property only has a ratio of 3 parking spaces for every 1,000 square feet, that means they only have 6 spaces for those 2,000 square feet available to them. That means 4 people are going to be parking elsewhere. And that's not right. Mm-hmm. People are not going to last. Your employees will not stay if they have to walk blocks to get to your office after they've parked the car. Mm-hmm. So there are many things that go into commercial. I'm just looking at one of them when I mentioned parking. But to me, that's a very important one. Of course, another one is budget. And what are you getting for that budget? In other words, in an office building or an office situation, you might look at the amenities. If you're looking at an office building, does it have a common use conference room so you don't have to waste a big area inside your space that you're paying for per square foot for a conference room? If you don't need a 10-person conference room, you only need a 1 for 4 or 5, that could be a regular size office. But a 10 or 12 person conference room means that it's really like 2 offices that you take the wall down in between and make it into a large room. And if you only use that once or twice a week, that's a very expensive conference room you're paying for. Mm-hmm. So I look at that as, you know, if they need a conference room that seats 10 to 12 or more, then I'm going to look at buildings that have that amenity built into it. They have the conference room that they can reserve, a conference room that can seat 20 maybe, or 10 or whatever. I mean, some buildings have multiple conference rooms to rent, to use, sometimes for free, sometimes on a pay basis. You pay by the hour for the use of it. Either way, it's still cheaper than if you paid for it 24/7 for all those square feet. Mm-hmm. Also, amenities like maybe a cafeteria or close to many restaurants that we're going to walk to, so they don't have to move their car during lunch. Changes the dynamics of people coming and going during lunchtime. Because if they can come and go within 45 minutes, you're not losing people for extended periods of time, which can happen, you know, when you're isolated in a building that's out in the middle of nowhere, for instance. There's many things. How the rent is structured, for instance, in residential, rent is rent. You pay the rent and that includes everything except your utilities. In commercial, rent is not just rent. Rent is base rent, then the pass-through expenses that are built into the rent or that you're paying for separately within the rent. For instance, a triple net lease is a lease that has net of taxes, not including taxes, not including insurance, and not including common area maintenance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It also doesn't include utilities, and it also doesn't include janitorial. All of those are included in a full service lease. In those big, tall office buildings, they are all included. In a Class B office or Class C office or a warehouse setting, you're paying for all those items separately. They quote you a rate, but that doesn't include the whole rate. That just tells you what the base rent is, which is the only negotiable part. After the base rent, then you have pass-through expenses, which are fixed for every tenant on a per square foot basis. In other words, pro rata. So if you occupy 10% of the building, you pay for 10% of the taxes, 10% of the insurance, and 10% of the common area maintenance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's all built in, and you cannot. That's really not negotiable in 99.9% of the leases. There are exceptions, and that's why I didn't say 100%. The exceptions are the really, really big tenants. They can negotiate some of that out. For instance, they can put caps on it. We can put it won't go up more than X percent per year on pass-through expenses. You have to be a strong tenant for a landlord to accept that, because expenses are just that, they're costs. And in every other lease, everybody's paying their fair share. But if your lease has a cap on it, and 1 year the taxes jump 20% for whatever reason, you're going to get your pro rata share unless you have a cap built in.
And that's how you go ahead.
No, you finish.
And so that's how you look out for your clients. It's because you're thinking about all those aspects. Whereas if clients, individuals go out looking for office space by themselves, they don't understand all of those aspects of commercial real estate.
Yeah. One of the things I do when I first meet somebody is ask them what their experience is. You know, how many leases have you signed? How many contracts have you been involved with negotiating? You know, all those things, you can't replace experience. Mm-hmm. So I ask them if they have that experience, if they understand the triple net, the full service, the differences. You know, there's modified gross leases, which means that there's a combination of a lease. I mean, that's why I say it's almost a different language. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, when somebody says, my lease, when the landlord says, the rent is $14 a square foot. Okay. Does that include everything? No, it doesn't. They don't even tell you that until very late in the game and you're about to sign the lease. Oh, by the way, mm-hmm. you have expenses that are going to be added to your base rent. I said, and what? Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, people signed it anyway because they need the space. Now they've gone down this road so far, they don't have the time to start all over again and look for a new space. Mm-hmm. So it's education is a really big part of my fundamental way of doing business, that people need to understand what they're agreeing to. Another thing is that everybody, and I mean everyone, should hire an attorney before they sign a commercial lease. Every single person should hire an attorney to read the legal aspects of the lease. The attorney is not there to give you whether you should pay more for rent or less for rent or what it's worth, because they are not in that industry. They wouldn't know. Whether they say so or not is irrelevant. That you don't listen to that part of their conversation. You have to listen to their legal side. What are these 30 or 40 page leases committing you to? And what are the ramifications of it? That's one line I'm not allowed to cross. I cannot tell somebody the legal ramifications of what they're signing, because that's a legal opinion. So what I do is I tell them what it says. This is what it says. I cannot tell you how it might affect you because that's a line I'm not allowed to cross. But that's where you speak to your attorney. I highlight that and I hand them the document, or I send it to them by email with my highlights on it as to what I think should be considered, you know, asking about with the attorney. And if they choose not to hire an attorney, I have a form they're required to sign that they say, you have been advised by First Global Realty to hire an attorney to advise you on legal aspects of the contract, and you've chosen not to. And you sign here. Because I don't want to be, and I've never been called in for anything, but I don't need that in the future. So I protect myself, you know, the old let's just call it protect yourself. And that way I put it in their file and say, hey, he signed that he didn't want an attorney. That was his choice. I told him from the very get-go that I'm not an attorney and I cannot give him legal advice, but I can tell him what the lease says, and that's what I do. As a matter of fact, because Spanish is my first language, I've been fortunate enough to help clients who did not read English very well. They may have spoken some of it, but they can't read it so well because they didn't grow up here in this country. So I will translate the lease to them, paragraph by paragraph, or letter or sentence by sentence. I will not tell them again. I cannot tell them how it affects them, but I tell them what it says. At least they've heard what it says. How they react to it is up to them. And again, I always recommend hire an attorney to protect yourself.
So that's a great segue to the strategies that you would suggest for people who are interested in commercial real estate. You stated, make sure that you get a realtor that actually specializes in commercial real estate. You also talked about the importance of getting an attorney. Are there any other pieces of advice you would provide our audience?
Well, be sure that you are considering the future, because these leases are 3 and 5 year leases as a standard. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're longer. So you have to sort of be like a fortune teller as to how your business is going to grow in the next few years or not, or is it going to contract? Mm-hmm. If you're going to grow, I would recommend you go to a property owner who has a lot of properties, because a property owner, if you have a 5-year lease and in the second year, you just had to hire 10 more people because your business went crazy, and that would be great. But you have a problem. You don't have room for 10 more people in your office. So you can go to your landlord, or of course, if I represented you, I would go to your landlord and say, listen, these people have 2,000 square feet, but now they need 3,000 square feet or 4,000 square feet. Do you have any empty spaces that could fit them? A landlord wants to keep their tenants for as long as possible, mm-hmm. because the more experience they have with them, the safer and more comfortable they are with their tenant. As I like to say, landlords, every single month, the best day of the month is the first day of the month. Because the first day is when all rents are due. Every commercial lease starts on the first and ends on the day before the first. And the best day is the first, the worst day is the second. That's when they start worrying about who am I going to have to chase this month to collect mm-hmm. the rent. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And every month is the same thing. It's a cycle. Every single month, the landlord, if you have a 5-year lease, they worry about you 60 times.
Well, that's great advice, that if you're a business owner, you have to consider and prepare for your future. And that will help you to determine what type of place you want to sign a lease with, because
the ownership group. If the ownership group owns 20 buildings, well, if they, you know, an owner is more than happy to move you into a bigger space, mm-hmm. and they will almost always pay for your move. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because you are going to be a larger tenant to them. That means a larger check to them every month, and they'll be happier. Mm. So they'll gladly rip up your current lease with 3 years left on it and sign you to a new 5-year lease in the new bigger space.
Great, great advice.
But you cannot get out of a commercial lease by saying, I'm sorry, I need more space, and you don't have it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Commercial lease is very, very binding. Not like residential, which takes 6 to 12 months to get you evicted. A commercial lease actually... the owners have the right to change your locks, and everything inside just became theirs because you didn't pay the rent.
Hmm. Wow.
It's a very different world.
So would you have any advice for anybody that may be interested in going into commercial real estate?
Oh, yeah, sure. For one, learn about it. Understand that it's nuanced. You need to know the nuances, the differences between what one type of property might be worth as opposed to another type of property. So you learn about it, you look online. I mean, it's all pretty public. I pay for a data source, which gives me, because I pay for it, they call every property owner every single month to verify how much space they have available for rent or for sale. Mm-hmm. And that data is what I purchase. I purchase it on a monthly basis. Actually, it's a contract annual basis. And it gives me, I can type in, it used to be, like I said, I've been in it for over 30 years. It used to be I had to drive up and down all the streets that my client wants to be on and write down their properties and their addresses and the name on the sign if they had a sign up. And if they wanted 2,000 square feet, I would have to go back to my office and call every single one and see, do you have a 2,000 square foot space available? No, my smallest one is 4,000. Okay, thank you. Boom, next call. Do you have a 2,000 square foot space available? No, I'm sorry. Boom, the next call. That could take me hours. Now in 5 minutes, I can pull up every space in the area that has a 2,000 square foot space.
That is a great service for commercial realtors to have.
It's life-changing.
So now you're based in the metro Atlanta area.
I am. My office is in Roswell, which is directly north of downtown Atlanta.
So if anybody wanted to actually do business with you, would you like to share your information with our audience?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And by the way, because my office is in Roswell doesn't mean I just do Roswell. Mm-hmm. I work all over metro Atlanta. The north, the south, the east, the west, doesn't matter where. Licenses in Georgia. So all of Georgia is available. But I like to work in the metro Atlanta area because I'm familiar with it. And I have a history with a lot of property and property owners, actually. Mm-hmm. So they know me and they know that I'm serious and that I'm not, you know, BSing them when I make an offer. It's a legit offer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've done my homework with my client to make sure that they're legit. So how would they find me? Of course, the website is easy. It's 1st for first global realty.us. So that's the website. And my office number is 404-567-5617, 404-567-5617. And you're welcome to call me at that number anytime. Because if I'm not here, it'll take a voicemail.
That's great. That's great. Well, you provided some valuable information about commercial real estate and all the factors you should consider when you're a business owner and working to find an office or a space. And it's so good to know that you're not, that you really have your client's interest in mind by not having those contracts with the actual owners of the property, right?
I do have one more thing I wanted to
okay,
add.
Okay, please.
And this is actually really, really important, but I don't always mention it up front. That is that 95% of my clients never pay me a penny for my services. Because the owner of the property, when they put property up for lease through a realtor, whoever they may be, predetermines how much commission they're going to pay.
That's good.
And that commission is what I split with the person who put the sign up. So that never gets into the equation as far as, is it costing my client any more money? No, because that money would have been spent either way. Whether I brought them to the building or they called the person on the sign, that commission would have been paid. The person on the sign just gets double the commission if I don't call them. But that also means that my client doesn't get any representation. Because if you call the person on the sign, you will not get representation because they don't represent you. They represent the person owning the property. Only you cannot sit in the on the fence and represent both sides. You know, otherwise it's a different type of transaction, and you should not be involved in one of those transactions where an agent says that they represent both sides. It doesn't work for either side.
Thank you so much for sharing that information because that's valuable for our audience to know. It's best to have representation, and it's not coming out of your pocket.
Not at all.
and you actually have the services of a professional versus you going in and making the decision and making mistakes along the way because you did not understand the nuances that you talked
about.
They
won't tell you all the nuances.
Yes.
They won't help you. That's not their job. Their job is to get the most they can for the property owner. That's their job. The most they can. And by the way, commercial leases are not advertised with rates as a rule. It's all whatever they want it to be that day. And they could change day to day, and does sometimes.
Albert, who's going to tell us a little about some strategy or provide us a strategy for college success.
Thank you. We'll tell you that the earlier you know what you want to do, the better your college experience might be. You know, there's a lot that goes into college. Of course, you know, everybody knows about, you know, what is outside the college, the world of college. In other words, all the non-educational side of it. But the educational side, if you decide or think about what you want to do early on, it doesn't have to be exactly commercial real estate or even real estate, but it does have, it helps if you're not going into, let's say, the arts or something else that will steer you away from this. You can do the arts and then do real estate later if you want, but if you know that you might be interested in real estate, you can take some courses there and start getting yourself educated in advance. Because frankly, you might use that anyway. Even if you're in the arts and you might need a studio, you know, that's commercial real estate. In fact, commercial real estate is everything but residential.
I love that idea about really honing in on what you want to do so that you can create your educational career based on that interest instead of kind of wandering all over the place. If you know exactly where your interests are, then you can create your educational trajectory to involve those particular fields. And so before we go, can you tell our audience what college or colleges did you attend and what were your majors?
Well, I attended the University of South Florida, which is in Tampa, Florida. And my major was business administration, marketing specialty. Marketing was my, and this was many, many years ago. I did not know that real estate would be my specific direction. I knew that it was part of my direction. I did take a couple of real estate courses in college, but it was really about business administration, running your business.
And to your earlier point, no matter what your interest at that time is, you can actually use the skills and the knowledge you learned at a later date, even if you don't pursue that field. And I'm sure business administration and marketing, but business, your degree is in business admin, right? And marketing.
That's
and you use it in real estate, I'm sure, in your career.
Yes. Oh, I do. Especially, you know, my office.
Yes.
The administration of my own office.
Yes. Great. Well, thank you so much. We enjoyed having you.
My pleasure. Thank you again.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terry Ungully, theme song. NADWORKS, digital support. And of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.